Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, Ugly Podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
So far away, doesn't anybody stay in one place anymore.
We could have our drinking game for this episode be, they drink every time we sing.
Every time we try to rip it vocally.
Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
What are other things we do all the time besides try to rip it vocally?
We always say hear me out.
That's true. We could do hear me out. We could do when we say but I think everyone will die of alcohol poisoning if we do that.
I think so. Well, let's take a look at the bingo chart.
I think the best ones are either straight up or hear me out. I think straight up or hear me out. All right, everyone.
Okay, cool. We're going to not remember.
If you are of age, we don't condone
breaking
the law.
In whatever country you're from.
And then legitimately, if you're in a situation where you can get drunk and not be a danger to yourself or others.
Most of you are probably like driving to work.
Do not. So. Hey, if you're driving to work, maybe think about not participating in this drinking game. Please don't do it.
So hear me out. The drinking game isn't even for both of us, it's just for me.
Yeah.
Today,
I truly have never put alcohol. These lips have never touched alcohol in my
you're 25 years sober.
25 years of existence.
I think I've mentioned this on the podcast a couple times. I don't like getting drunk around you. I have been like full drunk at parties that you have shown up to like late, and I'll like have to sober up immediately because I cannot face you when I'm drunk. I have no idea why. Maybe it's just because like I care about you so much and I just don't want you to see me crazy.
I get that a lot, and it makes me wonder if I have like mad judgmental vibes coming.
You don't. No. I think people just think you're Steve Rogers, you know. So they're like, oh, I can't let Steve down.
Well, I'll take it then. Thank you very much.
I, however, will be drinking a little, not a lot. I thought long and hard. A friend of the podcast, Alexa, sent us a message and was like, Lena, you should totes like take shots on the pod. And I was like, you know, I thought about it, but I still want to like be able to have a coherent conversation. And I know I'm a tall, tall woman, but alcohol gets to me fast. I can't help it. So I know I'd be like on the floor and Ian would have to be like wrangling me, much like he does regularly. But gosh, I feel like you're always trying to wrangle me. You're like, focus up. But I have a nice glass of wine here, wine from a box. Obviously, I'm poor. And then my roommate made me a margarita.
Hey, yo.
What are you drinking, buddy?
I got, oh my gosh, you guys. I really splurged. I've been saving this for a special occasion. And I was like, well, it's blame it on the alcohol week. I mean, what's more special than this? So I broke it out. I dusted it off. I'm having a 2021 bottle of Houston, Texas tap water.
Delish. Do you remember There was this one time when we were working together at the festival we were working at, and an agent like contacted you and was like, hey, will you pick up like two bottles of wine for my two like clients? And you were like, yeah, for sure, for sure. And then you came to me, you were like, I don't know what to do. And you were like, can you take me to the liquor store? And then I took you to the liquor store, like, and we bought some wine.
Like a babe in the woods. I was like, what is any of this? What does this mean?
Yeah, you were like Bambi learning to walk. You were like, I don't know where to go. I was like, the wine's in the middle.
Also, hear me out, a major whiplash of emotions to have an agent contact me and be very excited and open the message. And it just is like, hey, Ian, good to talk to you again. Anyways, I'm going to Venmo you. Can you pick up wine for the people I actually signed? I was
not very happy
about that.
It was I'm so sorry. I didn't even think about it that way, but that really sucks.
Yeah, he also paid me. He like gave me a tip. He paid me like $20 to do it. And I was like, I mean, I'll do anything for $20. So who cares?
You could have got your own box of wine.
Right?
I didn't get any of that tip. I'm the one who took you there. What the fuck? I'm just kidding.
Hi, everyone. My name's Ian. He sent me what he wanted the cards to say, and then I had to write it down, and then I had to put it in the dressing room.
Oh my gosh. Do they know it was you?
No, I don't think so. Can you imagine? Instead of writing his name, I was just like, Ian.
But I remember you asked me to go before Joseph had started, and then I forgot about it. And then I was like taking my sweet time getting ready. Like I must have taken like 10 minutes to like get dressed. And I found you just like sitting on the couch, like waiting for me. And I was like, buddy, I'm so sorry. I forgot about you. It's like, I forgot to like pick you up from like kindergarten. Like, buddy, oh my God, I'm so
sorry.
Just
standing there with the teacher moment. And the teacher's like, kid, I really got to go home. And you're like, I don't know where she is.
Like, she's still getting ready. Ready.
She's supposed to take me to buy alcohol right now. I can't go alone.
You're like, Mom's supposed to take me to the liquor store.
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
My name is Ian Allred, and I am a teetotaling gleek. Is that how that phrase is? Teetotaler?
What? What is teetotaler?
It's like people who don't drink. Hold up.
Oh.
It's really old-timey. It's from...
Is this like fisticuffs?
Yes, it is like fisticuffs.
Ian taught me about fisticuffs last week.
EP Tiff and I found out that Lena had never heard the term fisticuffs, and we were both like, have you never seen Oliver? Because
yeah,
literally
they were like, you uncultured swiney bitch.
Because the only reason I know what that phrase is because I was in Oliver
because
as a kid.
Yeah, I've never been in that show. My name is Lena Knatzer, and I'm a big wino who happens to be a gleek. I got my two drink tickets so I don't get too crazy, and we're gonna party. Should we talk about let's blame it on the alcohol?
Should we blame some stuff on the alcohol?
Yeah. What can we blame on alcohol? All of it.
The reason that I completely just waffled right there is every joke that came into my mind was way too dark to actually say on the podcast. All right. Blame it on the alcohol. We have gotten pretty consistently, quite a few people have emailed us since this podcast started telling us that this is their favorite episode of all time or the best episode of Glee of all time. So the stakes could not be higher. We got a lot riding on this one.
Yeah, and we got a lot to, like, live up to. I always feel so bad when people, like, are like, wow, Blame It on the Alcohol is my favorite. I love this moment. And I'm like, I totally didn't even talk about that moment. I feel so bad. Mm-hmm. You know, it's always, like, the Tuesday before the episode comes out. And it's like, I hope you talk about this moment. And I'm like, fuck me. I totally didn't even talk about it.
Especially because we record these days in advance. And so sometimes people would message us and be like, hey, just before you record, I wanted to make sure you touch on this. And it's like, oh, you are late
and
to this,
like,
party. And no,
yeah,
we did not touch on that. I think it'd kind of be like a fun reversal if we did an episode on what many consider to be the best episode of Glee, but we made it our worst episode of the podcast.
Oh my gosh, I would love that.
I think it'd be kind of like cute and quirky.
Yeah, that would be super cool because people who like are newcomers to the podcast would just like pick out their favorite episodes, and no doubt like they would probably pick one of the, like this episode, and we would be super annoying, yeah. And they'd be like, ugh, those bitches.
And like we would turn them off immediately. Like Etsle, yeah. Ude, Hete, Hoe, Hingte.
What are you nye, saying?
Nie, Igpe, Atenle.
Oh my god. Will you translate?
I said, let's do the whole thing in Pig Latin. And based on your reaction, I think it is an excellent idea.
I think so. Especially because I'm fluent. Fluent. Dude, you just sounded like Jared Leto's Joker.
Honestly, I might as well be drinking. What's
like,
going
you know,
on?
The DC, you know, the DC logo, yeah, when it goes, when it like turns and goes, that's exactly what you sounded like, you stupid. I love you. You're so weird. You're the best ever. I miss you so bad.
I know.
We truly haven't seen each other or spoken in like the last week.
I know.
What's that about? How have you been?
I've been good. I've been traveling, yo, getting from Salt Lake to Texas, living the dream.
I love that journey.
I spent exactly 24 hours in my childhood home.
Aw, so
that was exciting. Did anything else happen?
Yeah. You sent me a Marco Polo with your social security number in it. I didn't look.
I deleted it.
Did you? Why would I ever?
I was like, you know, I trust
I'm
Lena.
I'm not gonna steal your identity.
But I will be more comfortable if there's no video evidence of my social security number out there.
Absolutely. Yeah, the Marco Polo people, they're always trying to get you to pay money to them anyway.
They're always watching your videos, just waiting for you to ask a question about paperwork for a job where you accidentally don't crop out your social security number on the form.
Oh my gosh, that is so funny. I'm honestly, no hate, all tea, what? I'm drunk.
All?
What? No, I'm not. Maybe I'm just so excited to be recording the podcast again. I promise I've only had like,
yeah,
probably
this
a
is,
glass of
this
wine.
This is like, I literally just called you Brittany. This is Lena. What's happening?
That is so nice.
You know what? Yeah, we might as well both be like fully drunk right now with how we're talking. Goodness sakes.
What were you going to say?
I was going to say that you're not even drunk yet, and then I flubbed over my words.
Yeah, classic. So, yeah, this is just how I am when I'm excited.
That's true.
Yeah.
Right.
Should we talk about this
episode?
Let's
get into it.
Off the bat, I was going to ask you how you felt about the episode, but we never do it that way. Let's get
into
the Glaxon.
Let's sprinkle the
first.
Glaxon at random.
Yeah, I'll just say it at the end.
Oh, yeah, it's time for the Glex.
All right. So, Blame It on the Alcohol is the 14th episode of Glee's second season and the 36th episode overall. It premiered February 22nd, 2011. This episode was directed by Eric Stoltz and written by Ian Brennan. Listen, Eric Stoltz directed duets earlier. And then the next one he directs, off the top of my head, I can't remember. What is it? It is, dude, it's Prom Queen. Dude.
Honestly, 3 for 3. Good job, Eric.
3 for 3. Very good. Very good. Very good. And then written by your favorite, Ian Brown.
Oh, yes.
He is so your favorite. Okay, let's talk about the songs. Rip it vocally.
Man,
take a drink, you guys.
I was about to say, if anyone's doing that version of the drinking game, they're in trouble already.
Okay, so this is the weirdest thing of all time. Usually, I'm on Glee Wiki right now, the sacred texts, and usually with, like, the uncredited songs, like with Funny Valentine that Tina sang, that's usually, in the afterthought of the songs. Like, it's in, like, the background songs or, like, that, or, like, the unreleased songs, like, that kind of stuff. My headband is in the released songs, like, category
on this. I think because they released it.
I know they released it. Like, they released it on an app called Tap Tap Glee, whatever the hell that is.
That's my all-time favorite app. Are you kidding me?
Is it? It's collecting dust on your old iPod Touch.
Instagram, step aside. It's all about Tap Tap Glee. Also, Headband is not on Spotify, unfortunately. I got really excited.
I wouldn't think so. I think the only place it's been released, because it said it was released for free on the Tap Tap Glee thing. But I have some glacks for you about my headband.
I thought you were going to say about Tap Tap Glee.
Oh, yo, this is the Tap Tap Glee hour.
I was on
so
board.
Get ready. I know, that would have been so fun. I don't know what it is. Do you think that app still exists? Look on the app store for me.
I doubt it.
This song was written by the show composer, which is James S. Levine, and then the co-creator, Ian Brennan. So Ian Brennan and James wrote the song together. Makes sense. It has Ian Brennan all over it. And then we have Don't You Want Me, originally by the Human League, performed by Blaine and Rachel. This song was performed by Marissa and Samuel, who later went on to play Joe for their musical in the fifth episode of the first season of The Glee Project. Oh. I remember that, and it was very cool. And then they kissed at the end, and it was very exciting.
Wow.
I know. Dude, you gotta watch The Glee Project. We gotta watch The Glee Project.
We're going to, probably.
We're going to.
Da, 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 da.
Da, 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 coming later, maybe.
Everyone, I have absolutely terrible news. I'm so sorry to inform you of this. Please, if you might want to sit down, Tap Tap Glee is no longer on the App Store.
Damn it!
If anyone has a phone that has Tap Tap Glee on it, you could probably sell it for $100.
Yeah, is it your dusty old iPad, your iPod Touch? Send it to me. I'll buy it.
Do you remember? You guys, I'm very sorry.
I'm not.
Do you remember in 2013 that app Flappy Bird?
Oh, yes, I remember Flappy Bird.
Where you would just touch the screen and the bird. Yeah. Uh-huh. And do you remember how, like, it got so big and it was so frustrating that the creator started getting death threats? And he straight up was like,
no?
This game ruined my life. And he took it down and it, like, got erased from the App Store. And then it was like,
I am not on the death threat side of the internet. I don't hear about that kind of stuff.
I was big into Flappy Bird my freshman year of college. And I remember when it got taken down and like the drama of Flappy Bird not being available anymore. But the deal was if you already had it downloaded on your phone, like it stayed downloaded, but no one could download it. Like no one could go and get it if they didn't already have it. And people were selling like iPod touches that had Flappy Bird on them for like multiple hundreds of dollars.
Dude,
like people would put them on eBay for like $700.
So
and straight up.
That's what I'm about to do with Tap Tap Glee.
Yeah. If you have Tap Tap Glee.
What if I'm totally saying the app name wrong?
I don't think you are because
I'm doing it from recollection.
Well, because Tap Tap is an actual app. And I think Tap Tap Glee was just like a subcategory of that app that no longer exists.
Sure.
But hear me out.
Okay.
If you got Tap Tap Glee on your phone.
Hear you out. I'm drinking.
Hear me out. If you have Tap Tap Glee on your phone, put it on eBay. Maybe you can make a couple hundred bucks.
I still got to get through the glacks. I cannot get too drunk while I'm doing the glacks. I hope this episode is fun to listen to and is not like just me like flaunting. Me drinking. I don't drink frequently, you guys. I drink very seldomly. I've had that box of wine for months. Okay. Okay. Back into the glacks. This is the first song that Blaine sings that is not related to Dalton Academy at all, or the Warblers. As he says to Rachel, I'm just Blaine tonight. I'm not a Warbler. I'm not even wearing the jacket. Leah and Darren did an acoustic version of this in April 2017. I don't know what they did it for, but it probably was fun.
I would love it if they just were like hanging out and someone
they were just like
on their Instagram story they posted like 15 seconds of it and someone was like, put this on Glee Wiki, put it in the sacred text.
The sacred text now. This is Blaine's only duet in the second season without Kurt. Fun fact. Okay, let's party. That's all I have for Don't You Want Me. And then we have Blame It on the Alcohol, originally by Jamie Foxx, featuring T-Pain, performed by the New Directions. And then we have One Bourbon, One Scotch, One Beer, originally by Amos Milburn.
I just
Milburn.
Heard someone rip it vocally.
Damn it, I'm taking a drink.
What rules are you playing by for this drinking game?
Whenever you can tell me to drink.
The drinking game is just anytime I tell you to drink, you drink.
That's a fun drinking game. But like I said, this song is by Amos Milburn, but this is the George Thorogood version, of course. Why wouldn't they do the George Thorogood version? My favorite version of this song.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Best.
I know. I knew he would feel that way. That's why I said it. performed by Beast and Shosta. And then we have TikTok, originally by Key Dollar Sign Ha, performed by the New Directions. Fronted by our girl, Brittany. Let's get into the regular glicks. Okay, let me find my place. Ooh, let's talk about, oh my gosh, TikTok. So I watched a video about this. It's really cool. They have like a behind the scenes like video for this episode, and it shows you the contraptions they use to throw up. And they're essentially like just tubes that like just spurt liquid. So Brittany, hers was like just like placed like right by her face, like the side of her face, mm-hmm. and was like taped up the side of her body and had someone behind it like pressing the button or whatever. So that was cool. And then Santana's is in her hand. Mm-hmm. So the tube is like strung up her arm and then the contraption is in her hand. And she was just told to like put her hand on her. Honestly, I would be nervous. I was going to drown.
Oh my gosh.
Right? Like if you put it too close to your face, it's just going to go right up your nose.
Well, add another fear to the list, baby.
I know. And I think they only did it once for both of them. Kesha says she loves this cover. They even cited their sources, Glee Wiki did. And when they shot TikTok, it was actually Heather Morris's birthday.
Yay.
And she said that it was so fun and like everyone was being so nice to her all day and they were praising her for her dance. And she says that that was the best gift, birthday gift anyone has ever given her.
Aww.
Like everyone being so nice and like everyone, you know, and she got to throw up. So that's really fun. in Brittany, the episode, if you recall, Brittany said she wanted to do a Kesha solo and girlfriend got her birthday wish. So she got to sing. At the party, Blaine shouts, "Best party ever, woo!" And Darren Criss was actually in Katy Perry's video last Friday night, open parentheses, TGIF, close parentheses, and says the exact same line in the video the exact same way. So very what cool, very exciting, very fun.
Specific reference for Katy Perry to make.
That's the thing is Glee season 2 was everything. And like Darren Criss was the whole world in 2011. So I'm not surprised by that at all. And this episode is also pretty popular. This is the first time that we ever see Blaine's hair without hair gel. And it's in its curly state. So that's very exciting. And this is the first episode in which Lauren Potter, who plays Becky, appears in the opening credits under guest starring.
Yay!
Isn't that fun? And those are my blame it on the alcohol glacks. Oh, and if you remember, I mentioned that like the top like rated episodes in this season, one of them was Blame It on the Alcohol. Like, this episode is so widely received as, like, being such an awesome, fun episode. So I'm so excited to talk about it. Give me that recap, baby.
All right. Time for the recap. Time for the recap.
I don't think I ever do that. Give you a song for the recap. I think that's just a you thing. And I don't think I've realized that until this moment.
I think you've done it.
I'm always so nervous to do the podcast. I think I have. I don't think I've done it in a minute, though. I'm always so nervous.
All right, here we go. Here's what you missed on Glee. McKinley High is full of teen alcoholics, and Figgins asks the Glee Club to perform at an alcohol awareness assembly. Rachel throws a party in hopes that the experience will make her a better songwriter. At the party, she and Blaine kiss, causing him to question his sexuality and upsetting Kurt. Will and Beast go to Honky Tonk Bar, and Will drunk dials Sue, thinking it's Emma. After the Glee Club performs drunk at the assembly and vomits all over the stage, Sue plays Will's voicemail over the PA system. Blaine kisses Rachel sober and realizes he is exclusively into dudes after all. And that's what you missed on Glee!
Dude, best ever. No mistakes. You're the best.
Wow, thank you so much. All right, what did you think of Beer Bad?
I hate Beer Bad.
I'm literally watching this
episode. I love alienating our audience.
Beer Bad, everyone, is the Buffy the Vampire Slayer teen drinking PSA episode. And let me tell you,
it's so weird.
One of the few instances where Glee tackled an issue much better than Buffy the Vampire Slayer did.
Much better than Buffy. Well, there's a few of those episodes where I'm like, yikes. I love this episode. When I finished the episode, I went back I have not done this. I usually watch the episode twice, but I genuinely went back to rewatch moments that I thought were fun. Like, I rewatched a couple songs. I rewatched a couple, like, line readings that I thought were just so hilarious. I think this episode rocks. And I like the way it ends a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
How did you feel about this episode?
I really liked it. Yeah, good. I thought I just think we're in a very good stretch of season two right now.
Mm-hmm.
The episodes have been pretty consistent. This isn't my favorite episode of all time, but
sure.
I do think it is.
I wouldn't think so. Yeah,
but I do think it is a very strong episode. I think it is a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I honestly, I think about this episode, not a lot, but I was surprised at how much I enjoyed it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Does that make any sense?
Yeah.
Like, when I think, like, my favorite episodes of Glee, I don't think blame it on the alcohol. But I watched this and I was like, shoot, why is it so good?
That's,
I don't know, man.
That's how I felt about this whole stretch that we've been in. It's yeah. like, I remember that these What's episodes exist, but they never are the ones that come to mind. And then I'm like, oh, no, these yeah. are actually, like, pretty good episodes.
I know. And I say it every week. My Glee core memories are in these last couple of episodes, I swear.
Mm-hmm. So how do you want to talk about this episode?
I don't know.
I was looking at it and everything is like kind of enmeshed in one. And so uh-huh. I just have my notes are divided teachers and students that I have.
I like
the teacher
that.
Stuff, which is like Will, Emma, Beast, Sue, and then the student stuff, which is everybody else.
Everybody else. Should we talk? Should we do teachers first?
Yeah, of course, because the teacher yeah. stuff is boring.
Yeah.
Honestly, we don't want to end on that.
It is the dud of the episode, which there's yeah. There's got to be a dud. Every party needs a pooper. That's why
we invited you. That excellent wordplay.
Thank you. That's why we invited Shu. Okay, so let's talk about the teachers first. We should talk about, gosh. How do I do podcasts?
I don't remember. This is your first day on the job, so there is kind of a learning curve. Don't
Honestly,
worry about it.
It does You'll feel be like great. We haven't done it in a minute when it's like it's just been a week.
Yeah. Okay. Kicking us off right off the bat. Mm-hmm. Hear me out, everyone.
Drink.
This is such a specific thing to say. But okay. I think that this is Principal Figgins' best episode yet.
Whoa, that is a great thing to say.
The MVP of this episode is Principal Figgins. Everything that man does is so funny. And just in this first scene with him and Will, he says, key, $ha. He says...
A cultural reset when he said that.
He says that all the students in school are wasted and not on learning... On alcohol.
And then, oh my gosh. One of my favorite moments is when he's dancing when they're singing TikTok mm-hmm. and his little hands. He's just like, well, he's like pursed his lips and he's like jamming along.
Then, speaking of the assembly, I wish that Glee did an assembly every three episodes. I love them every time. When he talks about how he's going to get Kitty Dukakis to talk about drinking. And then at the assembly, Figgins says, unfortunately, Kitty Dukakis couldn't be here because of disinterest, but Lima Police Chief Lawrence Crowley is here to show you a grisly slideshow of auto incidents.
A grisly slideshow!
Which also, like, what a universal
it's so
experience.
So true to the high school. Yeah.
Like, did you go to Dude. An American public school if you did not have a police officer show you a slideshow of car accidents to scare you out of drinking and driving?
I know. Look, hear me out. I grew up in Utah and we hate sex education here. And I remember one time they taught us about STIs and that, people with penises, when they get STIs, they have to like have a swab stuck up their urethra and the guy passed out. And they showed us a photo, not of like a urethra, but just of like the stuff they find, you know, growths and stuff. Oh. And someone passed out.
Oh my gosh.
Everyone's trying to scare kids by showing them grisly photos.
Also, how he introduces the song as Tick and also talk.
Tick and also talk. Hear me out. What my favorite moment probably in the whole of the Figgins story is when he says to Will, you need to see someone about your sex and love addiction. And he says, I can call my pastor for you. And I was like, shit, Figgins, we have been saying that for weeks.
For real.
He needs to see someone about his sex addiction.
Figgins, like, just spitting facts right there.
I know.
Clear-eyed, telling it like it is.
I know. I love Figgins
so much. He is such an unsung hero of this show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, the idea that the Glee Club performs at an alcohol awareness assembly completely drunk. Yes. And then they get away scot-free because Figgins thinks that it was special effects and he like congratulates them is the exact storyline I love from Glee. Mm-hmm. That is like, that has Ian Brennan all over it. Where like, yes, there is a moral and there's a message, but like the actual storyline teaching you that moral is like so sketchy ethics-wise.
It's rocky all the way there. Yeah. Oh, I love that so much. Should we talk about the Will of it all?
Of course, I can't wait.
I know. I love to talk about Will Shasta. How'd you feel about the Will plot?
I don't mind the Will plot, frankly speaking. It doesn't bother me. I think it works. The whole like him drunk dialing Emma does like add some drama. I cannot abide the honky tonk bar scene, though. I am like...
Okay, but you don't like the honky-tonk. Yeah.
Do you like the honky-tonk scene?
I don't mind it. I think it's fun. I really like Coach Beast.
I think... Here's the deal. The beginning of the scene that's like Beast holding their liquor way better than Will, I do like, and I think it's kind of funny. And I actually think Matthew Morrison does like a funny, like drunk amazement face. When Beast like punches the punching bag and like he has a face like
to them,
what?
He's like,
it is specifically one bourbon, one scotch, one beer that I'm like,
sure.
A, what show is this? This isn't Glee. B,
it just felt like they like Googled songs that like had to do with alcohol and they found that one. They're like, okay, that one can go.
Yeah. B, it's half of it is pre-recorded dialogue. You know how I feel about that.
Oh, yeah. I know you hate that. Yeah.
And it's not like, I don't know. It might just be because I'm like not a big country fan, but it's not like it could have been like a really funny number, but they're not like drunk enough for it to be funny.
Yeah.
It's just like the weird precipice where like they're clearly drunk, but like not drunk enough to embarrass themselves. And so therefore you're like, okay, we don't need this. Also, why does the whole bar know a line dance to one bourbon, one scotch, one beer? They were acting like they were singing Cotton Eye Joe up there. What was that about?
Dude, I love a line dance. I can't help it. I don't know. Maybe they learned it. Like, they're all regulars at that bar. They introduced Will because it was his first time being there.
And the band leader was like, he's going to sing the anthem of this bar, one bourbon, one scotch, one beer. You know, the one we made up a dance to, everyone. Get ready.
You know the one. It's kind of like how people, like, learn... flash mobs like in their living room like weeks beforehand before they do it and they like show up and just have to know it. Like maybe they just like had a YouTube tutorial.
Beast was like, you guys, I'm bringing my friend to the bar tomorrow night, we're gonna sing this song, here's the dance, show ready
on the day. Do it how you're gonna do it on the day.
I don't want you marking. I want full out practicing.
I thought it was fun. And maybe that's just because I like Coach Beast so much. But I did think it was so weird how Will was like addressing the bar. He's like, I'm gonna have my lady sing with me. And I was like, Will, eat shit and die. Like, you are so annoying. It's like, that's how we feel about Will all the time. But especially in that moment, he's like, you know, just trying so hard to be hot. And I'm like, can you not for like 2 minutes? You and your sex addict ass need to get out of my honky tonk bar.
Seriously, you need to see Figgins Pastor about your love and sex addiction, Will.
Straight up. Let but that bar looks so fun. I would have a blast there. They were all doing like... Did I ever tell you about the first time I went to a bar?
It was a bowling alley with your parents?
It was a bowl. It was. I took my mom and my stepdad, Tom, took me to my first bar. And then you took me to my second bar. I don't go to bars.
Why
and then
COVID did happened. I take you to your second bar? Because, I don't go to bars. Literally, every time I go to bars, I just awkwardly stand and watch everyone else around me drink.
That's exactly what I do. I'm much more of a house partier. I get nervous around people I don't know. And I'm always nervous that I'm going to, like, get roofied. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Being a woman. But my first time going to a bar, Tom, my stepdad, challenged me to a beer chugging contest. And I want you to guess who won.
Did you?
It was me. Yeah. Tom was, hear me out. My parents were like, are you kidding me? And I was like, yeah, that's what I learned at college, Mom and Tom. That was my first bar experience. Wasn't that crazy?
That's fantastic.
But hear me out. This bar looks fun as heck. I would so go there.
That's true. That's true. It does like it.
I would learn the live dance.
I hate a bar. First of all, I'm not a fan of bars, everyone. I don't know if you've caught on, but especially a bar where it is like walk in and everyone stand around to make awkward conversation. The fact that like they got activities, they're like, I don't know, you want to punch a thing?
A bar with activities.
I don't know, you want to go on a bowl? I don't know, totally. You want to do the flash mob that we've been rehearsing for the last 48 hours? Like, I'm in for that.
Totally.
Also, the unsung hero of this honky-tonk bar is this woman. I had to rewind this part because I was like, why did the extra make this choice and why did the editors put it in the episode when the band leader is like, no, I got my friend Shannon up here. And they got a friend here with them named Will Schuster. And it like cuts to Will and he's at the bar and he has all of his drinks in front of him. There's an extra who's in like a white tank top and she is fully in character. Just like moving and grooving, dancing with herself, literally making a beeline for the bar, reaching for Will's drink to steal it. And it is so funny. It cuts away before she ever makes contact. But like, talk about no small parts, just small actors. Like that woman truly was like,
I love her. Get her an Emmy. I'm making a strong
choice. I am going to make it into the cut of this episode.
That is so funny, dude. Beeline's first drink. I didn't even see that. I'm totally gonna rewatch it. Honestly, I want to rewatch this episode too. It's so fun. Ugh. That's the honky tonk bar, though.
That's the honky tonk badonkadonk, everyone.
But you know what I love more than the honky tonk bar? What? Beast's line reading of "You haven't lived until you've seen me in a cowboy hat."
But it's the so best funny. Part is the dinner afterwards.
Yeah, like It's so funny. It is so. I just think Coach Beast is the best, dude. Oh my gosh, so funny.
The closest this episode ever does get to Beer Bad is when Will and Beast go back to Will's apartment and they're both drunk and they have like clearly a network mandated conversation where Fox was like, okay, you're allowed to do this episode, but make sure you touch on the fact that you cannot drive drunk. Make sure you touch on the fact that they are underage and so it's illegal. Make sure you touch on the fact that drinking can be okay if you're an adult doing it recreationally, but you can't do it for X, Y, and Z. Like the conversation that Beast and Will have in his apartment, like who talks like this?
It's like, okay, got it. We know.
It is so like after school special, making sure that no one's gonna get mad at them dialogue.
Absolutely. That's, you know, the adults in the episode are truly the dead. I want to spend more time with the students.
But we haven't touched on, besides Figgins, the one adult who is not at all a dud, which is Sue in this episode, who pushes the oral intensity coach down the staircase.
The peppy homosexual.
That scene is so funny. The look on the man's face, he is like, before Sue pushes him down the staircase, he looks as if he's having the best day of his life, like so chipper and cheery. Sue pushes him with such a ferocity, he like crumbles.
Just slams into the wall too.
The choice for him to fall down the stairs, get up and say, I'm okay, and then Sue to run down the stairs and push him again is like takes the joke to such a higher level. I love that scene. It is so funny. It is comedy gold.
No, and the way he is full smiling the entire time. He's like, I'm okay.
Having the time of his life.
It's so good. I know.
Oh my
gosh. I just love so much that Sue's immediate reaction to Will drunk dialing her is to like publicly reprimand him and like send him to rehab. Like, she is so, the way she is so deadpan, she's like, I'm serious, bitch. Like, I am sending you to rehab. Like,
and she calls
it is so
him
funny.
The alcoholic teen vomit fetishist, Will Schuster.
Teen vomit fetishist.
Ugh, my
so funny.
Goodness. So good.
Sue is so good in this episode. Oh my gosh.
Random discrepancy. Will drunk dial Sue, and he says, hey, sexy lady, which, like, makes me want to die. And then he says to her, I know you're taken right now, and yet, when Sue plays it over the PA system, William does not say, I know you're taken right now.
Yeah.
What happened
there? It's all about
there?
The crinkly gloves. I don't
dun,
know.
Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun. Why dun. Weirdos, what is that about? You think it was just like an editing problem?
Yeah, I think there's a larger conspiracy. I think it goes straight to the top.
Yeah.
I think
it hints
at the fact that Will's perception is not reality, that a lot of the show and a lot of the events of the show take place in his head, and they're representative of his loosening grip on what is real and what is not. And in his mind, he had said, yeah, it's a big Shutter Island deal. In his mind, he said, I know you're taken right now, but in reality, he didn't. And we're meant to question which one of these characters, like which characters are actually there.
What's real, what's not, for sure.
They're just like laying the seeds for the big reveal, you know? It, like, Glee works on many different levels.
Yeah.
And that's just one of the hints to some of the higher levels. I don't think this bit has gone on long enough. Should I keep going?
I think, keep going.
Anyways, do you have more teacher thoughts?
I do not. I do think Emma's really pretty in this episode. I always love when someone with a wedding ring always just gesticulates with their left hand and is like, whoop, there's Kathy. You know what I mean?
Also good to see Emma again. If I'm not mistaken, we haven't seen her since Christmas.
Maybe that's why the episodes have been so good. That's not even true. Friend of the podcast, Jamie Mays, is one of the shining stars of this television show. I've missed her. I'm kidding.
You need
to. It's a whole joke. He's looking at me like he wants to kill me.
I was so shocked.
Ian,
and
I would never say something like that. You know I love Emma.
What are your student thoughts?
Oh, gosh, I feel like we should break it down a little bit. With, like, maybe, like, Rachel and Blaine and, like, Kurt and, like, the rest of the kids.
Yeah.
So, what should we talk about first?
I don't know. What do you think? Do you want to just do Rachel?
Yeah, let's talk about Rachel.
All right. Take us there.
Rachel is such a cutie pie in this episode. I can't help it. The way I have never related to Rachel more. Than her being like, I need to go through something to be able to write this music. Sometimes I listen to music and I'm like, I have been through nothing. I was talking to my friend yesterday. I was like, I need someone to break my heart bad so I know what life feels like. You know what I mean? I was like, I need someone to like drag me through the mud so then I can finally like meet my spouse. You know what I mean? Like you need to live before you can live, you know? So like watching this episode, couldn't have come at a better time because I was like, I hear you, Rachel girl. And the way she wants to throw a party for her friends, she buys wine coolers and cares so much about her friends, doesn't want things to get crazy. So she like pulls out drink tickets. She knows who's DDing. She's like planning this all, like, it's so beautifully. I love that girl. I love her dress and the outfit and like in the party. She is such a doll. She is a goober. The way she loves, she just like has such a crush on Blaine. And then when Blaine finally is like, thank you, Rachel, for like helping me understand that I don't like women. She is like, this is the best. She's like, I did it. I love Rachel so much. She is such a cutie pie in this episode.
That choice to have Rachel when Blaine tells her that he's not attracted to her, to have her be like, this is the most incredible thing that has ever happened. Yes. I finally have trauma. I can write a song now. Is such a smart choice to make for the storyline and the character. Like, oh my gosh, it is so fantastic.
Absolutely. And also, like, I think it's just a smart thing to put in a TV show, like, for young women who like will inevitably fall for their gay friends, like that she's cool with it. I just think it's so fun. And also, Rachel, girl, she's got the most trauma of anyone I've ever met in my life, and I haven't even met the woman.
Seriously, have you met your mom? What are you talking about not having been
Rachel,
through anything?
You had the worst last year of your entire life.
Your first boyfriend was a sleeper agent working for your supervillain birth mother.
Yes! Sleeper agent. He was the winter soldier of freaking vocal adrenaline. She like woke him up with some Russian and he went and egged her.
That is the weird thing about this episode, is they like really want us to believe that Rachel hasn't lived and like she can't think of anything deeper to sing about than her headband. And like, hear me out. Yeah. Yes, Rachel is over dramatic. But, like, she's got some legitimate trauma to pull from.
Legitimate trauma. Yeah. And maybe it's, like, too much trauma to, like, you know, deal with on, like, a 7 p.m. Wednesday, like, television show. You know what I mean? Because, like, if she were to write a song about how, like, her, you know, how Shelby What's-Her-Face is the worst person ever and, like, rejected her, maybe that's too much.
Yeah. Frankly, I think they just wanted to write my headband.
Oh, I hear that. So Ian Brennan's like, I need Rachel to be a goober and write about her headband. She's not even wearing a headband in that scene.
I love the feeling.
I wish she was.
I love how that song has the feeling of her writing the song based on words that rhyme, which like when I had to write poetry for school back in the day, that's like what I would do is I would like come up. Yeah. I would like end a sentence and then be like, okay, what's a word that rhymes with this? And I'm going to construct the next sentence so that it ends on that rhyme. Like the way that she says, like she, one of the lyrics is you're red or yellow and like a good fellow just feels like she was like, you're red or yellow. Okay. Now I need rhymes for
what
yellow.
Rhymes with yellow. Yeah.
I love a bad song. Yeah. What can I say? I love how she finishes singing and Finn goes, was that a song about your headband? And she goes, yes, it's called My Headband.
And he goes, it wasn't deep or even good. And she's like, what? And then she throws that party.
I'm just frankly still waiting for the other shoe to drop with Rachel. I know it does happen. Okay. But frequently, I keep being like, I don't know. I still love her. I still find her so compelling, and I still find her so funny and so endearing. And I know that the show...
Well, and she has been a mega monster about, like, the Finn thing, and that is undeniable.
Yeah, but I feel like the show has framed it in a... Not always, but I feel like the show has kind of shown that she was in the wrong for many parts of it.
Yeah,
I don't totally. Know. I'm waiting for the moment when I stop liking Rachel Berry and it hasn't hit yet.
It happens, but it will, and it'll hit hard and rough.
But man, this episode, the fact that her dad's have a painting of her on the wall, the fact that she's dressed like she's in the Little House on the Prairie, and that's like those are their pajamas.
The fact that they go on a Rosie O'Donnell cruise for how freaking long, I don't know. Because she never cleans up that party. It's like many days later.
The
timing of this episode makes no motherfucking sense.
I have it mapped out because I couldn't figure it out. And so I rewatched the episode just for the timeline. Okay, so Friday in Lima, Ohio, Figgins calls Will into his office, says that kids are wasted and not on learning, William. And
not
that
learning,
the
William.
Glee Club needs to do a performance at the assembly. It's now Alcohol Awareness Week. Rachel sings My Headband. She throws the party. The party is Friday night. We skip forward to Monday. Everyone is still hungover. How does that work?
Wait, the Friday?
Okay. I don't know.
Okay.
The party is Friday. They are hungover at school
for some reason.
On Monday.
Yeah. Listen, I've had some really crazy hangovers. That's not how they work.
In the hangover scene, Mercedes says, "I have felt like this since Saturday," which would mean that her hangover started on Saturday. Mm. Yeah, and for I don't know how none of these teens had to freaking get their stomach pumped because they got so drunk that their hangover lasted, what,
also,
like 52 hours.
Not to tell you that I know teens who have drank, but none of the teens I know who have drank ever get hangovers.
Yeah, because you bounce back at that age.
Yeah, because
why do you think Quinn was in school on Monday after giving birth to Beth on Saturday? Because when you're young, your body bounces back.
Come on, Quinn. Quinn of all people. She's given birth. She can handle some jungle juice.
Wuss.
Come on.
Okay, so Monday they're hungover. Monday they do blame it on the alcohol. Monday Beast invites Will to the honky tonk bar, but they specifically say we're going tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Rachel asks Blaine out on Monday after school. Tuesday.
Okay.
Blaine Chill goes on their date. Honky tonk happens. The honky donk badonka donk goes down. And then
they should have
Kurt
sang that.
Goes to Rachel's house, right? Can you imagine if they sang Honky Tonk Badonka Donk at the Honky Tonk bar? Honestly, I do not need to see William Schuster singing that song.
They make us look at his ass too much.
Kurt goes to help Rachel clean up the party that happened on Friday. She is cleaning it up on Tuesday. Why did she wait four entire days? I guess her dads are gone the whole week, so that kind of makes sense to me.
Yeah, and if she wasn't feeling well and she's been, like, actively drunk, because she even drinks, like, on Monday. They're, like, drunk at school on Monday.
And then she's drunk when she asks out Blaine.
Yes.
It is, frankly, concerning to me that all of these kids are essentially drunk for 5 days straight.
Yeah.
They truly never
sober up until
they all vomit on stage.
Hear me out.
It is alarming.
That is... And they were puking all weekend. Hear me out. Every time, I have only, like, puked from drinking probably three times, which sounds like a lot probably to you, but in, like, my drinking career, you know, that is not a ton.
I mean, hear me out. I have thrown up from just brushing my teeth on more than one occasion. So, like, no judgments here.
But after that happens, I'm like, even the word alcohol, like, makes me gag.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's because I didn't start drinking until I was, like, 22. Like, I didn't have a sip of alcohol until I was 22. So maybe that. But I don't know. Like every time I puke from drinking alcohol, I'm like, I will never – like, I cannot drink vodka anymore because I have, like, thrown up from it too many times. You know what I mean? So why would they continue to drink when they're already ill? I don't know. That makes no sense to me.
Well,
maybe
I think
I'm not a good partier.
I think it's what Artie says. Where Artie is like, you know, if you stay drunk, the hangover never comes.
You know what? That's true. That is true. If you keep drinking, it never comes.
Mm-hmm. So that's the moral of this episode, everyone.
True. Never stop drinking. 5 day bender in the middle of February.
And then Wednesday is when they have the TikTok assembly.
Okay,
and that's
cool.
Blame it on the alcohol. Friday to Wednesday.
Did you ever have something like an alcohol awareness week at your school?
No, I did not.
We had something that we did, like, drug prevention week at my school.
Like,
we called it Red Ribbon Week. Yes, well, kind of.
Oh, wait, yeah, we did Red Ribbon Week.
Yeah, and, like, one day, like, each day was, like, dedicated to a certain type of drug, and then one of them was always alcohol, and one was, like, heroin. So I was like, whoa. Big, like, Wednesday to Thursday was a huge jump.
Whiplash.
Yeah, literally. Let's talk about the party, shall we?
Yes, Rachel Berry, incredible, the best. Everything you already mentioned.
Literally.
Also the way Just, I watched this scene and I was like, I relate to Rachel so hard. The way that she wants so badly to be a good host for this party, but also doesn't know what she's doing. Mm-hmm. And she's like, wait, but we haven't played celebrity yet. Like the way that she has, she is like way too controlling to throw a good party. Who's like that? I've never met anyone like that. Couldn't be me.
I've never met anyone like that.
And then when she goes to Quinn and she's trying to like be all like charming host.
Oh my God. Up, the Barry watch.
Hey girl, having fun.
She doesn't say, hey girl. She says, hey girlfriend. The Barry watch. Play the jingle.
The Barry watch.
Oh yeah.
The Barry watch.
But just like the way that she is so out of her element, but trying so hard to pretend that she's like cool and chill and like having a good time and knows how to do this.
Yeah,
I absolutely love it.
It's everything. It is everything.
Also,
honestly, what?
I would much rather attend Rachel Berry House Party 1.0 than Rachel Berry House Party 2.0. The second all those kids got drunk, I was like, this is my nightmare. I would hate to be at this party.
It's actually so funny because I actually really like that moment where they're all drinking because it looks like a real house party to me. Mm-hmm. I feel like I was always growing up seeing like house parties in movies that like had like lights all over the walls and were like everyone was dancing when it was mostly just like you and 12 other people like being weirdos. Like that's what a house party is, you know? It's like two people being weird and then everyone else making out and chatting and like two people singing, you know what I mean? So good. Looks like the most, like, I've never seen a TV show ever depict a house party as well. I love this scene so much. And when I started, like, when I first drank, I totally, like, this scene stuck with me. I was like, the archetypes of the drunk person really stuck with me. What kind of drunk person do you think you would be if you ever drank? Not that you ever will, but just hypothetically.
Okay, so there's the weepy needy. No, there's the weepy, what is the Santana one?
She is like the weepy drunk.
Okay, there's weepy drunk. There's angry drunk, which is Lauren and Quinn. Mm-hmm. There's happy drunk, which is Tina Mercedes. I would watch an entire show of just Tina Mercedes being happy drunk. That's the best.
Literally,
part of
I kept saying like I want to hang out with Mike, Mercedes, and Tina exclusively.
They look like they're having a blast together at this party.
I know. I want to be them. I wish I was them.
There is stripper drunk, which is Brittany.
Uh huh.
There is needy drunk, which is Rachel.
Yes.
I feel like there's a sixth one that I skipped.
And there's angry drunk.
I said angry drunk.
Did you?
Yeah.
Lauren and Quinn?
Yeah.
But then you said all
of them. Didn't you say there's six, though?
Well, name all the girls in the club, because they don't...
I know, they don't do any guys, which is very weird.
Yeah, what's that about? Well, I mean, what is gender? Not that, like, these kids, but, you know, like, it's not... I would say that men fall into similar categories. Also, men add the category of, like, playing Crash Bandicoot. I feel like every party I've ever been to, there's always, like, two boys, like, drunk off their asses, sitting 2 inches from a TV playing Crash Bandicoot. You know what I mean?
Also, there is only five. I just looked it up. I don't know where I got a 6 point from. Gosh, who do I think I would be if I got drunk? I think I would be a happy drunk, or frankly, I hate to say it, I think I might be a stripper drunk.
I would say, I totally see that.
I would say I would be a happy drunk or a stripper drunk. What do you think?
I think, hear me out. I don't think you would be a needy drunk, but maybe this moves into the stripper part. You're very touchy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, especially when you're around like a bunch of people, you like are always like grabbing people and moving them around. I think you'd be like a really like needy drunk in that way. Like you're always like trying to get 100%. People's attention, like holding people by the shoulders and like looking them in their eyes and like screaming at them. Like that's you.
I frequently in high school would be asked if I was drunk at parties. Because
that makes sense.
I just like, I don't know. I get to a level of like a certain time of night, my brain chemistry just switches. And especially when I was a teenager and I like didn't have any shame, I think of things I did as a teenager and I'm like, who is that person?
Who is that?
That doesn't compute. One time I straight up was in a McDonald's. I got on top of the table and started singing and dancing. I was stone cold sober. Yeah.
They try and kick you out for being drunk.
No, weirdly, the worker was probably like, I hate this job so much. Like, he was so dead inside. He did not say anything.
Well, I have been to a few parties with you where I've been pretty drunk and you have shown up to them and I've had to sober up, but then you and I just end up dancing.
That's true.
That's happened. And you keep up with me pretty good. I, as a drunk person, I don't know that I fit into any of those categories, but if I had to align myself with a character, I would say Blaine. Because he's like dancing in the corner alone. You've seen me. I lose my phone. I lose all sense of reality. Someone turns on like SZA and I'm like alone dancing, like not even paying attention to whatever is going on. And then I just like have a good time. And then I also make out with people. So yeah, that's me at a party. I would say Blaine. So if he were to like name the rest of the guys, maybe I'd like feel like maybe I was like one of them, but yeah, I don't know that I fit into it. Maybe happy is the best way to put that, because I just like laugh and dance mostly. I'm about to finish both of my drinks. Should I go get some more? What? Are no.
You,
Who?
Whatever you want. I guess we could find out what type of drunk you are right live on this podcast.
Oh, well, it'll be different. I'm sitting in a chair.
Speaking of Blaine, let's talk about Don't You Want Me, Baby.
Oh.
Better than the original. I said what I said.
I said it, and I meant it.
That cover, one of the best Glee covers of all time.
So much fun. It is so good. It's also Ryan Murphy's fucking wet dream. You already know.
Oh, 100%. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, he was like, you mean Darren that. Criss and Lea Michele together? Ian Brennan did it first. I'm pissed.
Seriously, he's like, Ian, you knew how important this was to me. How dare you post this idea?
He did it first. He did it first. Oh, he also got them to kiss, which I'm sure he was so pissed about. Dude, their kiss was steamy.
It was. Chill. I love Kurt just going, okay, that's enough.
No, he's like, stop this now. Dude, Don't You Want Me is, I can't even tell you like how much I love that song. It is so fun watching them just like scream at each other, bouncing up and down. They're having such a good time. Also watching everyone just like do their own thing at the party. Like Mike and Tina are like dancing and kissing, and like Brittany is like sitting on Artie and they're just like fully making out, and like, you know, Lauren is like leaning
Mercedes
onto
is like
Puck,
singing
and Mercedes
to her
just
red
singing.
Solo cup.
Also, I noticed that Rachel is wearing one of Mercedes' earrings. It's the cutest thing ever. Brittany and Artie have like switched shirts. It is so fun. That whole number is a blast.
The way that Rachel like frames her face during it.
She's like,
There is like an energy to someone scream singing while jumping up and down that is like the most exciting energy ever to me.
Yeah.
Man, on the second chorus when they're staring at each other and jumping up and down, play that thing on my tombstone. I love that moment so much. Ryan Murphy's wet dream, Ian Allred's wet dream.
Dude, for real. I want to go to a party so bad just to like do karaoke with my friends. I've never like sang at a party before, but I want to start having karaoke parties with my friends. Mm-hmm. That sounds so fun.
Some other thoughts about this scene. One, the person whose job it is to pick the like ambient music for Glee, truly their finest work this episode. One, you know, Carole King. We got Earth
like
Move Under My Feet.
Six.
We got So Far Away. Their best, most inspired pick, though, is during Spin the Bottle, when Blaine kisses Rachel, the lyrics to the song in the background are, Johnny, are you queer, boy? That's not an accident. No. That is artistry. Kudos to them. That is such a
literally
funny pick.
So fun.
And then also, in this scene, Olivia Rodrigo, who Santana wrote driver's license first. She says to Sam, she is like, you like Quinn more than me. She's a pretty blonde girl. She's smarter than me. She's all the things I'm self-conscious
she's so
about.
Cool. I know. Well, you know, Olivia Rodrigo loves Glee. We know that's canon.
We've gotten a lot of emails of people being like, if Glee was on right now, how do you think they would fit driver's license into it? That's my answer. Is Santana would sing that it to Sam at Rachel Berry's house party because she basically already does in Blame It on the Alcohol. Yes.
She does in just less words. Seriously. I love when Rachel chugs the wine cooler and everyone's like, chug, chug, chug. And then she's done it. She goes, it tastes like pink. It tastes like pink. Which is so true. I hear that. Like, alcohol just tastes like color. Oh my gosh. Mercedes and Tina, I want to be them at parties. Like, I just, the way they laugh and Mike is just walking around and they are just like not paying attention to Mike and just like scream laughing at each other. I love drunk people. Oh my gosh.
All right. So speaking of drunk people, what are your thoughts on Blame It on the Alcohol?
That number is so fun. And all of them look so hot. Like, I was like, why do they all look so good? That number is fun. It is really exciting. I really like the choreography in that number. Very exciting. And I can tell they, like, spent a bunch of money on the rotating couches. Because they kept, like moving, like, cutting to Sam on the rotating couch. And I was like, I don't give a fuck about Sam on the rotating couch. Give me this fun choreography. Because they were, like, grinding on each other and, like, being really fun and, like, you know, like pretending to drink with their hands. Like, that was so fun. Like, the choreography was fun. And I don't care about Sam sitting on the couch. But I can tell they spent a bunch of money on it, so they had to get the good shots.
Here's my question about this number.
Okay.
Is the number ends, and Will is like, wow, you guys did such a great job with that number, but my concern is that it glorifies drinking too much to do at the assembly, so maybe we should pick something else. Which, like, yes, William, sure. You are correct.
Yeah.
But the number they performed was fully teched and fully costumed, which raises the question. Option A, does Will not direct this club? Does he just say, here's my credit card, go wild, do whatever you want, show me the final result, I'll veto it if I want. Or B, is Will so stupid that he literally, it took seeing the number in tech and full costumes for him to be like, wait a minute. This song's a little pro alcohol.
Who are you?
And wait a minute. Who are you? I don't know if this is the right pick.
Totally. I totally, hear me out. I have a conspiracy theory. Rachel directs the club. She is like class president. He's been.
Honestly?
And what day does Will get super drunk? It's Tuesday, right? And the assembly is on.
It hasn't happened yet. He is hungover on Wednesday morning. He's hungover. And this is
Monday. Oh, I'm talking about TikTok. Yes. But like.
Oh, no. TikTok, like, he does TikTok, mention to Beast.
They had 2 days to put it on. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he thinks that like that one isn't like exclusively about alcohol. You know, it's just like about partying.
Well, no, TikTok, I don't have an issue with. My question is, blame it on the alcohol. When did Will realize it was a bad choice? Because they had clearly already done all the tech. They had already got the set. They had already done the costumes.
Oh, that's what you're talking about.
All that has already happened. And then after that,
I'm
Will
drunk.
Is like, that. Hey, blame it on the alcohol. It's okay. But then after
you know me.
Have already reached that point, Will is like, maybe this isn't the best idea.
Yeah.
Anyways, moving
on. You know, I do get the sense that Rachel directs this club.
Yeah,
I think
that's probably
reality.
True. Speaking of Rachel, very funny Rachel line. Rachel talks about how there aren't songs that talk about the dangers of drinking. And she says, maybe it's because there are no dangers to drinking. And she says, maybe there are none as long as you have a designated driver. Have I ever told you how great you are? And she like just drunkenly
she's talking about Mike.
Thought just sees Mike Chang out of the corner of her eye.
Dude.
And just like, have I ever told you how great you are?
And if then, I was drunk around Mike Chang, I'd say the same thing.
And then Will says something and Santana just bursts out crying.
I know. It's so good. My gosh. It's the so fact funny. That Santana is so full of turmoil that the only time she ever like lets it loose is when she's drunk is so fucking funny to me. That she is such a weepy Santana. Drunk because she is so full of turmoil. I love her. Oh my gosh.
Love Santana in this episode. Do you wanna tackle the clane of it all?
Yeah.
All right, hit us up.
So this is the episode where truly Glee's biphobia is out to play. It truly never stops. Something about these writers, they really hate bisexuals. They don't think bisexuality is real. And like, I like this episode a lot, and especially the moments with Blaine, and he's like, I don't know who I am. I've never had a boyfriend. Like, why can't I like Rachel? Why wouldn't I? Like, I'm not leading her on, all that kind of stuff. Like, I really like those moments, and that is totally a thing that, like, I think all queer kids go through. They're like, I don't know. Like, Blaine is crazy, you know? But just, like, the Kurt's, like, blatant biphobia and just being proved right is just like so hard to hear. It's like so bad. He's like, bisexuality is just a term used for gay people, like, so they can feel normal and hold a girl's hand. And it's like, oh, shut up, Kurt. Kurt is a super menace in this episode. Not my favorite Kurt episode, I'll tell you that. You know?
Yeah.
But yeah. That's a real thing. You know, people all the time are like, I thought it was one thing. Now I think I'm another. Let me try it out. You know, so like, I like this episode because of that. I think it's fun. But also Kurt really ruins it for me. Like Blaine's attitude about it is good, but Kurt is the one who really ruins it for me, I think.
Yeah, Kurt is major emotionally manipulative this episode. We've talked about it. It's like, that's yes. Kurt's like, hallmark character flaw is that he's emotionally manipulative, and we like see it in his conversation with Bert, where he like Bert is truly just like trying to have his son's best interest at heart. And like, I'm not saying that Bert like perfectly handled that conversation, but Kurt is like intentionally trying to misconstrue everything that Bert says to him.
Oh, I know. And, like, that honestly pissed me off.
But hear me out, it doesn't bother me because the episode paints him as being in the wrong. Like,
yeah, I get that.
This is Kurt's flaw. We know it's something he does. And the show at no point during that conversation is like, and Kurt is right. Like, it's just like, we've seen Kurt do this with his dad before. Kurt is very used to being misunderstood. And so he gets overly defensive and he projects onto people, even when they have good intentions. And it like, we're just seeing it play out now with Bert. And then Bert being super dad handles it pretty well.
Yeah, literally. Also, when Bert is, we do not deserve Bert.
When Bert says that he's like, I don't know what happens between two guys. I mean, I sat through all of Brokeback Mountain, and from what I gather, something happened in the tent. But onto the biphobia of it all. I have complicated feelings about this because...
Okay.
Obviously, Kurt says very, very awful and biphobic things. But Blaine's rebuttal to them is like very sound and well thought out. And so it feels much more like Kurt is biphobic instead of the show in general, because of the way that like Blaine says something that I was like, oh, that is so well written, where he says to Kurt, like, honestly, I'm envious that like, you know exactly what your sexuality is.
Yeah.
And then Kurt, you know, Kurt is kind of being a little emotionally manipulative, where like, this is real trauma that he went through, but he is using it as a weapon in this moment, where he's like, oh yeah, so lucky for me that I was mercilessly bullied. And then Blaine says, oh, and why were you bullied? And Kurt says, well, because they didn't like who I am. And Blaine says, isn't that exactly what you're doing to me right now? And like moment, I was like, oof, that is good writing. Like way that turns the tables on Kurt and makes him like see that he is being as unaccepting of bisexuality as some of the people at McKinley were of homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
So that scene is very strong, and I actually think it's played out very well.
Mm-hmm.
But then, And I mean, like, Kurt, I mean, Blaine doesn't need to be bisexual for this storyline to work out.
Sure.
But then, like, it turns out that Blaine isn't bi, and then the show is like, there's no bi character ever except Brittany, and also we're never going to talk about it again.
But also, they never, like, acknowledge that Brittany is bi. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Like, it's never really spoken. But... yeah. And so it is like, I really like that one scene. But I do think that the show in general is biphobic and that the writers actually kind of agree with Kurt. That, like,
I think so. Mm-hmm. And that's my problem with it is, like, I definitely like that scene a lot. But as a person who knows this show, I know that, like, that's probably how the writers feel. And I have met people, especially the attitude towards bisexual men is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people feel this way that, like, bisexual men don't exist. They're just, like, on their pit stop to being gay, which is so ridiculous. Like, bisexual men absolutely exist, but in the eyes of Glee, they absolutely don't, you know? I don't know.
Well, because even Kurt talks to Rachel when he goes to help her clean up, which once again is Dalton a boarding schooler, isn't it? Because he blows into Rachel's house on a Tuesday night. So what's going on? Is he sleeping at Dalton? What's is he sleeping in Lima? But Rachel is also convinced that Blaine cannot be bisexual. Rachel is like, no, he's completely straight.
Yes,
and that was the scene. The scene with Kurt and Blaine and the lima bean, I was like, oh, Kurt's just, we're supposed to feel like Kurt's in the wrong. But then the scene with Rachel and Kurt felt very much like the show being like, well, he has to be gay or straight.
Yeah, and see how Rachel is like, well, he probably is just confused that he likes boys. He probably likes girls. And like... mm-hmm. Like, no, like, bisexual men can exist, says Glee. What the hell? Ridiculous.
Also, on a much less serious note, their cups in the lima bean, they're not even pretending they're full of liquid. When the waitress sets them down, you, like, hear the echo of how empty they are when they hit the counter. Know.
Just put some water in there, geez.
Especially for, like, a scene where they have to clank them down and you're going to hear it. Just, like, put a liquid in there.
I know.
Although apparently
a medium drip.
Apparently a lot of times in TV shows they will like put microphones in coffee cups, which I didn't know. So maybe there were microphones in there.
Okay.
All right. Do you want to talk about also really fast before we jump off of
what?
Before we jump off this Kurt thing. Are the Hummels rich? Because Bert was like he was like a single dad for like 8 years and he's a
that house
mechanic.
Is huge.
That house is enormous, and the furniture
well, he, like,
is
owns
so
a
nice.
Mechanic shop.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I don't know what Carol does, and I know that they live together now.
Yeah, but that's so, but they moved into the house that Bert already owned.
They must have bought a new one. That kitchen is not the same as the kitchen that was before.
Yeah, it's enormous.
That is a new house. That is a new
and
house.
Like Kurt's bed, like the stuff in Kurt's room. I was like, dude, you're only sleeping in this room on the weekends because you now
He's
live
got,
at Dalton
like, a fur
Academy.
Throw.
Why
Jeez
is your
Louise.
Bed this nice?
I know.
Goodness sakes.
It must be a new house. Canon, head canon, they bought a new house. They were like, Bert was like trying to do it all himself.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, like couldn't do it. Like, and wouldn't like contact a contractor. It wasn't going to happen. So he was like, I'm just buying a new house.
Bert was like, Carol, we have to cancel our honeymoon because we don't have enough money to send Kurt to Dalton, so we have to cancel the honeymoon. And Carol was like, or we could just not buy an entirely new house. And he was like, no, we're canceling the honeymoon.
No, we can't have our sons sleep in the same room. It's happened before. And it was bad.
All right, let's get to Tick and Also Talk.
Tick and Also Talk, god damn it. How do you love, do you love this number?
I hate
Tell
this
me how
number.
You feel about this number. Really?
No, I actually really love this number.
I
was hoping you'd have a big reaction to that.
No, because I know you're lying. You love an assembly.
Britney feature. Love that.
Mm-hmm.
I love Britney's line before they go on stage where she says, Kesha's been a cultural icon for weeks. I can't let her down.
For weeks. Oh, so funny.
Truly,
so
I mean,
funny.
At this point,
Kesha
at this
was a
point,
whirlwind.
Kesha had been around for a while. She'd been around for like over a year. But truly, I feel like no one talked about Kesha And then one day in 2009, suddenly everyone talked about Kesha and her songs were playing on multiple radio stations at once. And I was like, did I fall asleep for a while? Like, where did this woman come from?
Yeah. Where did I wake up? Yeah, absolutely.
Also, Britney vomiting straight onto Rachel's face is such a perfect choice. The absolute best character she could have vomited on. It's very funny.
I know.
I love it.
It wouldn't have been as funny if she vomited on any other character.
Mm-hmm.
But into Rachel's mouth. I wonder what that was. You know what I mean? Like, what was that sludge?
Yeah. And I think the reason it's silver is probably because the network was like, you can't make it an actual vomit color because, like, that'll be too gross. But frankly, it's funnier that it's silver.
I know.
Because it is like, what was in that jungle juice that, like, their barf is silver?
It also looks exactly like the lipstick that Britney is already wearing. So it is so funny. And also, Rachel, full mouth open, has someone throw up in her mouth. Like,
my dream.
Like, you can tell Lea Michele is, oh, you're disgusting. Lea Michele is acting for the gods. She's like, my mouth's got to be open. But like, in all actuality, if someone were to throw up at you, I feel like your immediate response would be to like close all your
yeah, like
orifices.
Vacuum seal.
Like, you know?
Yeah.
But she totally doesn't. She goes, oh! Eyes wide, mouth open.
And then like,
so funny.
Santana's vomit like goes up onto her eyes.
Yeah, into the audience too. That's the best. It is so funny.
So good.
I love this number so much. I think this is, everybody drink responsibly. I think this number is also unironically very good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's very fun. I think the choreography is fun. I think that their outfits are silly and fun and cool and, you know, supposed to be, you know, what Kesha wears, I guess. I don't know. But it's fun, and I love it, and I love all their hair just, like, flopping around. They're such cuties. I love this number.
Very, very 2011 fashion sensibilities in this episode.
Oh, my gosh. Like, in the Blame It on the Alcohol, everyone is wearing, like, sequins, like, off-the-shoulder tops. I was all up in that business.
Britney has, like, a fur hat with animal ears on the top.
Everyone's wearing, like, cutoff shorts and huge t-shirts, but, like, that have cuts in them. And, like, layered tank tops underneath. So good. Yo, this episode is so fun.
All right. Wrap it up. Do you have strong thoughts about Will making everyone sign a drinking pledge?
So, I do have strong thoughts about it. It is weird because he like kind of expects them all to sign it. And I do think that is true to the high school experience. That like your teacher would be like, hey, let's sign these contracts that we're not going to drink anymore. So that part doesn't bother me too much. They are underage. It makes sense. I feel like I did a lot of things in high school like that. Like, I went to church and signed off that I would never have sex, you know? That totally happened. But I like the speech he gives. And he's like, you know what? I'm not going to talk down to you guys. I'm going to talk to you like real adults. And I'm going to do this with you. Like, I know what it, like, I know who you are. I know who you were. Like, I was the same way, like, and he totally, like, kind of levels with them, and I like the way he talks to them in that scene. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it so easily could have become, like, kind of gross, but he was like, you know what? We're, like, athletes, and we're training to, like, do our best, and sometimes that is, like, giving up your vices, and that, I don't know. I liked it. How did you feel about it?
Yeah, I think Will was truly trying to cover his butt because all of his students just performed at an assembly drunk and frankly got off scot-free.
Yeah.
It very much had the feeling of like, Will, you just don't want to get in trouble. And so you're doing a massive cover-up of this very bad thing that just happened under your tutelage.
If that got out...
Yeah, like you would be fired.
He would get in so much trouble. Yeah.
But I do like the way he says, one, there's a funny joke where he's like, look at the left corner of your phone, your form. That's my phone number. And then Sam goes, yes. That is funny. But also,
that is so true to the high school experience, too. Like getting your teacher's phone number is so exciting.
I also do love the whole idea of like, what's up? Like, that's there. If you do get drunk, like, call me, I will come pick you up.
Yeah, I liked that.
I had a teacher in high school who, before, like, homecoming and prom, she would talk to us and she would say, like, hear me out. I was a teenager. I, like, know what it's like. I'm not going to tell you guys, like, and do not drink. She's like, I know what the reality is. But, like, do not drive drunk. She's like, if you are going to drink, make sure you have a way there and you have a way back. And if you do not, call me and I will drive you.
Yeah.
Because I think it is true. Like, kids get in these situations. There was a party at my high school where everyone was drinking. I wasn't there, of course, because it's me. Everyone was drinking. And then someone showed up and pretended to be the police, like as a joke. And people freaked out and they drove home drunk.
No.
Like a ton of kids did. And thankfully, nothing happened. But, like, the reality is that kids a lot of times are too scared to, like, call their parents and disappoint them. So, like, you know what? I hate Will Schuster, but credit where credit is due. That is a very good teacher moment to be like, I know you probably aren't going to want to, like, tell your parents you're drunk. So, like, call me, no judgment. I will come get you and make sure you get home safe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also,
that is so true.
A very, like, harrowing statement from Santana. What? When Will says he's going to give up alcohol, and then she says, well, then what will you have to live for? And instead of it being played off as a joke, Will actually, like, thinks about it and is like,
yeah,
I don't really know. Like, dang, Will, that is, like, bone-chillingly sad.
I know. And I mean, Will is really sad. Will is really sad in this episode, so that makes sense. You know, he is drunk dialing this woman who is newly married and he's getting over his divorce with Terry. Like, he's really sad. Yeah. So, you know, I hear that.
Also, Quinn says, pot calling the kettle black. Brittany turns to Mercedes and goes,
I know.
That is so racist.
And Mercedes goes, Mercedes, like, shut up. I love Mercedes so much. I wish Mercedes was in this show more.
I know.
She is so awesome. And she does such a good job in Blame It on the Alcohol. Mm-hmm.
And I was like,
but, like, I wish she was in it, you know?
It feels like it's been 84 years since we had a Mercedes feature. And, like, I know that she's saying Take Me or Leave Me and Come Back. But, like,
the episode,
I feel
before.
Like, she just has not had a lot to do. Yeah, but, like, before then, we hadn't heard from her since sectionals. I feel like she has just been, like, on the bench for this whole season, essentially.
I know, which sucks because it sucks. Like, these episodes have been so good. And I would have loved to have them be so good with Mercedes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't know.
Do you have any more thoughts on Beer Bad?
I have so many thoughts on Beer Bad. But no, not on Blame It on the Alcohol. Do we have an assignment of the week that I forgot to do?
Okay, so the assignment of the week is a song that talks about the dangers of alcoholism. And I truly...
Do you have one?
Rachel is correct. There are almost none. I put in a lot of research. I found a bunch of lists that were full of songs that I have frankly never heard of. So my absolute reach is Chandelier by Sia, because the song is just about being, like, very, very depressed and drinking your depression away and just kind of, like, being reckless because, like, you're empty and very drunk. That was the closest I could get. I know it is a very good song.
I know what I'm singing.
Glee does cover it.
I don't even have to Google what I'm singing. I know what I'm singing.
All right. What are you singing?
I'm singing Margaritaville by Jimmy Buffett, buddy.
Is that?
Margaritaville.
Is that anti-drinking or is that pro-drinking?
Oh. Are there any songs about anti-drinking?
That's the whole spiel I just went on.
Oh, I wasn't listening.
The assignment is songs that talk about the dangers of alcoholism.
Ooh, should we talk about Escape the Pina Colada song? That's the dangers of alcoholism. It's not the dangers of alcoholism.
That's
the dangers of, like,
the
cheating
dangers
on your freaking partner.
Losing trust in your partner when you find out you both wanted to have an affair.
Yeah. I don't know any songs like that, but I'm still singing Jimmy Buffett.
Do you have anything else? I found a lot of songs about like drug addiction.
Yeah, I think people are much more open about drug addictions than they are alcohol addictions. But I'll sing Margaritaville, but like sad. I'll do a sad.
You're
going to
do
cover.
A Tick and Also Talk where you do Margaritaville and then you throw up on Rachel Berry at the end.
Throw up.
Ugh. All right, you want to do best part, worst part?
Gosh. Hell's yeah.
Doom, doom, doom.
Best part, worst part.
Boom.
Ian, what was your best part of this episode?
Best number, of course, Don't You Want Me, Baby. Incredible.
Yeah, literally.
Best part, Principal Figgins. Everything he says, yeah. Award winning. What literally. About you?
My best song in this episode, I think, is Tick and Also Talk. It is so good.
Tick and Also Talk
it's
is
so
very, very
fun.
Good.
The way they throw up is the best. I love it. I think it's so fun. My best part of the episode, probably just, you know, when Finn is describing all the drunk people in the party. Like, mm-hmm. It looks so much like a house party. It is so fun. I want to party with these people. It looks like a blast. They are so cute. I love these people so much. Ian, what was your worst part of this episode?
My worst part is either the honky-tonk badonkadonk. Or sure. Will and Beast just having a little after-school special drunk in Will's apartment.
Yeah, totally.
What totally. About you?
My worst part has got to be Kurt's biphobia.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Yeah. Like, I know that, like, Blaine has much less biphobia, and I love that. But the show, I think, is from Kurt's perspective, and I think it shows.
Well, that's a season wrap on Beer Bad, everyone.
Hooray! Margaritaville.
If you want to waste away in Margaritaville by following us on our social medias, you can. Our Instagram and TikTok is at @RecoveringGleek_podcast. Our Twitter is at @RecoveringGleek. If you have some thoughts about Blame It on the Alcohol...
Blame it on the alcohol.
You can send them to us, recoveringgleek@gmail.com or anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. Also, announcements. So, if you have ever thought, I would love to support this podcast with no extra benefits, just out of the kindness of my heart.
Yeah.
You are in no way obligated to. We would... Mm-mm. Very much appreciate it, though. You can do so at anchor.fm/recoveringgleek. You go to that website. There is a button that says support, and you can set up monthly donations. Once again, you don't have to, but the option is there, and we would be so grateful if you did.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, heck, is that all we have to say about Blame It on the alcohol.
I think so.
Well, thank you all for being here.
Well,
we love
straight
you.
Hear me out. Straight up. I hope your drinking games all went very well.
I don't have any alcohol anymore.
Wow. What a bummer.
Wow. I know. Sorry if I was soups annoying.
You weren't at all. Frankly, you could have been sober this whole time.
I know. Honestly, I didn't drink a lot. So I was very nervous.
You did not get tipsy at all.
I do feel like my head is a little heavy and I'm a little sweaty.
Okay.
I'm a sweaty drunk too. I can't, you know, I'm so European. What can I say?
That's the sixth type of drunk. It's the sweaty drunk.
Yeah. Sweaty. I think you'd also be sweaty.
Oh, I for sure. I'm sweaty no matter what I do. So I for sure would be a sweaty drunk.
For sure.
Oh my gosh. One time I went to a dance and as I was leaving, I heard a girl behind me say, "Goodness, who took a shower?" And I was like, "Thanks, I can hear you."
That like, is so freaking rude.
Sorry that I
Dude,
had a good time
so
tonight.
Dude, that is so funny. When I used to go to dances, we used to shotgun like monsters. So like, do you know how to shotgun a beer, right? I've like shotgunned LaCroix in front of you. You like stick a key in it.
Yeah.
But we used to do it with energy drinks, which like that is the most Mormon shit I've ever heard in my life. Goodness, who took a shower? Gosh. Oh, I want to go to prom.
Who wants, if you guys want to invite us to your proms, it won't be weird.
I wish you would.
Two 20 somethings who you don't know in real life just showing up at your high school prom.
I think they should throw proms for adults. I swear to God. Hear me out. I love to party, but I love to dance even more. And if there were like not a club, I just want to go like scream, "Don't you want me, baby," with my friends.
That's the thing. It's like dancing in a club. There's too many people who are like conscious of how sexy they either do or don't look.
Yeah.
I need a place.
It's like trying to touch your butt.
Yeah. Where no one is looking to hook up with strangers. Like everyone is just there for a good time, not a long time, dancing with reckless abandon. Who cares?
Hear me out. That's why I love weddings.
Oh my gosh.
That's why I love weddings.
100%. Wedding reception. Sign me up.
Wedding reception. I know. Well, thanks for being here. Here's a sloppy, drunk kiss on your forehead.
Mwah. Here's one from me. Hey, sexy lady. I know you're kind of taken.
I know you're
right
taken.
Now,
ew.
There it is.
Ew. I hated that.
All right. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Drink responsibly. Drink responsibly. Yes. Call Will Schuster if you need a ride. Don't drive drunk. Love you guys. Catch you later. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review and tell your friends, please.
I swear this apartment that I'm in is 100 degrees. I am dripping
sweat
right now.
Yeah, you keep fanning yourself.
It is so hot. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. What's the temperature there?
I have no clue. Is there a way to find that out on your phone?
Yeah.
Like a weather app? Oh, yeah. It's called the weather app. Have you guys heard about this?
Yeah, literally.
Forget Tap Glee. Check out the weather app.
Check out the weather app, you guys. Forget Flappy Bird.